There we go with the John Curley, Sherry Elliker Show. Thanks, everybody, for coming along with the ride. Much appreciated. There's Danny Tiny. She's going to get the letter of the day ready to go. All you got to do is text. Okay. Write to us at mynorthwest.com, although Andrew says...
Potato.
No, Andrew says...
Potato.
Okay, and Joe says that some people actually do write to mynorthwest.com, so you can do that. You can also text at Muckleshoot Casino Resort. Text line at 1-888-973-5476. Your text read aloud. One of you is letter of the day. All righty. Do salamanders bite? Sherry, check that out with your Googling, because I was doing my plunge today, and I felt something kind of nibbling at my toe.
All right, let's see.
When is it biting at my toe? What was that biting at my toe? A snake or something? I was in the water and scared the daylights out of me.
Let's take a look here. Salamanders bite. Yes, they can bite, but they are not venomous or poisonous to handle. They are timid and rarely bite, usually only if they mistake your hand for food. Their small teeth rarely penetrate skin. If you are bitten, clean the wound immediately and monitor for signs of infection.
How about if you're nude? Does it bite other parts of you? Check that out. All right, while that's going on, Biden signs the TikTok ban. So they got it together a couple of weeks ago in the House, pushed it in the Senate. The Senate was able to sort of nudge it with a bunch of other bills as well. So they have 9 months to divest, to get China out of there, and then force the sale of TikTok to an American conglomerate so that they can take advantage of people with a short attention span, so you can dance and do all sorts of other weird stuff that we could then put on the radio. So TikTok will live, but American companies will now make money off of TikTok.
This article, it talks about the fact that, you know, don't worry about this, that these short form videos are going to still be out there. They'll be on Instagram. They're on YouTube. 70 million daily views right now on those. And there's something called Reels, and that has 3.5 billion views a day.
Oh, my God. Oh, Sherry. You would try to broadcast to a broad demographic of people, but when you say stuff like, "Yeah, this thing called Reels,"
Sherry made a reel today. Actually, it was attempting to make pancakes.
See that, Sherry? There you go.
My reels are out there. I'll be down there.
Fine.
It'll be okay. I mean, if that's what you're going to TikTok for, there's reassurance that this is not these videos that you love so much will still be out there.
It will be interesting to see whether or not, now that China doesn't have influence over what you see, will you still be getting, I think I sent it to you, Joe. Was it sound that somebody said the TikTok reels that people get, the majority is like for every 10 pro Hamas Gaza terrorist bits of information, like, the Jews are horrible, you get one pro-Israel and 10 pro-Hamas. And they said, that's got to be coming from China. And that has to be influencing these kids that are taking over all these universities, if you're getting your information. Under the age of 40, the majority of people get their news from Facebook and TikTok and Instagram. The average amount of news consumed daily is 1 minute and 50 seconds. For somebody under the age of 25, it's like, oh, my God. So if China is influencing you and sending you the news they want to send you, well, that just helps reinforce the mush in your brain. FBI Director Chris Wray was talking with Lester Holt about the dangers of TikTok.
Can you be specific about what your fear is and whether that's actually happening or it's simply potential for it happening?
TikTok, for us, represents a national security concern. And the reason I say that is that TikTok's parent company is beholden to the Chinese government. And so when Americans stop and think about how do they feel about the power, the access, the capability, the control that TikTok has, they need to be thinking about it in terms of how do they feel about that same power, access, capability, control in the hands of TikTok's parent, in Chinese government and ultimately in the Chinese intelligence services. So that for us manifests itself in three specific ways. It has to do with the data. It has to do with the recommendation algorithm. It has to deal with the software. The data, we're talking about the ability to control or collect data on millions and millions of users and to use it for all sorts of influence operations like driving their AI efforts, which are not remotely constrained by the rule of law.
Are they doing that now, or that's simply they have the capability to do that?
What I would say to you is that they are currently attempting to steal our AI and hack American technology every day. When it comes to TikTok, we are concerned very specifically about the risks that that poses, given China's well-demonstrated playbook.
Yeah, the perfect example of the influence of the Chinese government. Kids in China get TikTok, but what they get are math problems, exercise prompts, all educational things, and then it turns off. It only gives them like 45 minutes of it or something. But in the United States, you 7 hours, 8 hours of stuff. Remember when they did the letter from Osama bin Laden? And then all these TikTok people were like, you know, now that I've read this letter from Osama bin Laden, you know, I think those towers coming down and what they did to us was justified. If you read what Osama bin Laden's letter was, do you remember that when that came out like 4 or 5 months ago?
Yeah.
All those TikTok people. Well, where do you think the letter came from? You think somebody just found it? No, it was sort of thrown into the cesspool of crap that comes from China and then goes to American minds of people that have no idea of history or understanding the place of America in the world. So, you know, they watch this stuff and they share it to their friends, and that's all you need is that.
This morning I read Letter to America, yeah, which is Osama bin Laden's letter to America explaining why he attacked Americans.
Yes. Yes.
And I am ashamed to say that I not only have never read this letter, but I didn't even know this letter existed. It's wild, okay, and everyone, yeah, should read it. If you haven't read it yet, read it. However, be forewarned that this has left me very disillusioned, and I feel, mm-hmm, the same exact way I felt when I was deconstructing Christianity. I feel a little bit just confused, yeah, like I have entered into another timeline. What is this?
Wow.
And, yeah, so go read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great advice.
Yeah. Yeah. Great advice. Thank you.
Now, TikTok has already prepared a lawsuit, and they've been very successful in court, winning some First Amendment lawsuits. So this will go to court. They may or may not win, but they've got about 9 months to get this, you know, somebody else to buy it. And they think the president will extend it 3 additional months if they still haven't found a buyer.
The president was asked whether or not he's going to stay on TikTok because he is putting stuff up on TikTok. And he said, bye, Java.
No, he said, there's a thing called Reels.
Come on, man. Come on.
No joke.
No joke. 4 years. Pause.
I really mean this. It's serious because you're going to make it hard for you to believe.
He's giving a speech, I think, today somewhere. Here he was, or is yesterday, and he got the part about, you know, 4 more years, and then he read pause out loud. It's like,
think about what you'd think about at the time. Think about how you'd feel. It's wrong. It's not who we are, and we're gonna fix that too.
Okay, man. Oh man, when he read pause out loud, if he were a 45-year-old guy running for president or a president at the age of 45 or 50, that would mark his presidency for the rest of his life. Like Ford falling down and then everybody making fun of Ford, he fell, right? And that was the whole, everybody made fun. If the guy was 45 or 47 years old and he was, you know, 4 more years, pause, and then right for the next line, that's what everything, right? Ron Burgundy, I'm Ron Burgundy. But this idea that you can have this guy out on the stump and supposed to make people feel that he's got all the vim and vigor needed, it's more and more evident he's not getting any younger, and it's only going to get worse. Still, no word from the White House as to whether or not they're going to have a debate. But that goes back to the debate of there should be a debate. Most people are saying there should be at least one, and do whatever you need to do to get old Joe, give him lots of coffee or something. Get him ready to go against Donald Trump, because I think the American people, if you don't step into that ring and debate Donald Trump, they're going to see that. Well, that's I'm going to have to just assume that everything I assume already about you is true, or maybe even worse. So come on, man. I mean it. One out of five adults say over 50 say they will never expect to retire. I could easily see that. Right. Most people don't have any sort of savings. Most people think Social Security is going to take care of them. Most people know that they're just going to have to keep working and working and working. The idea of retirement was invented, Sherry, by Otto von Bismarck, because they were afraid that the communists were going to take over. So he came up with this idea of your golden years. And he was the one that came up with the idea of Social Security early on. He said, listen, what we'll do is and he wanted to get younger people, older people out of the workforce so that there were jobs for younger people to come in. So Otto von Bismarck came up with this idea that we will take care of you. The state will take care of you, and they'll take care of your golden years. And you can retire. You can step out and you know, enjoy the last, I guess back then, the last 6 weeks of your life or whatever you had left. But most people never thought about retiring. You just kept working, and then eventually you work 100,000 hours on the job, and then you pass away, and then you later retire. But one out of four, I don't think that's going to come as a shock to anybody. Most people are not in any sort of financial shape to retire.
It's true, and they're saying part of it is that they're so worried about day-to-day living expenses that inflation has taken over so much of their income. And you're right, a quarter of all adults don't have any retirement at all. They haven't saved. And so they're also looking to politicians to see what they're going to do about Social Security and Medicare. 65% or 65 and older males make up about 30% of all voters, as opposed to Gen Z and millennials. That only makes up about 11%. And Medicare says they're going to run out of money by 2031. And Social Security says they're going to run out of money by 2033.
Mm-hmm. So unless something's done, right?
Yes. So older voters are looking for those protections. Younger voters, they can't even perceive of that at this point in their lives.
At your young age, do you think about retirement?
I have a feeling it will be thinking about me before I think about it. So I don't.
That there's the difference between retiring and then being fired or separated, right? I'm talking. Yes. Let's just say you make the decision. That's it. I'm not going to work anymore. Is that a dream?
Maybe eventually, but I'm not there at all. I mean, I like what I do, and I've always liked it. And if I can keep doing it, I'd love to be able to. But yeah, there's always that part of you that thinks, what if I just didn't do anything? What if I just got up every day and did whatever I wanted? Didn't have any responsibilities, didn't have any real obligations.
You'd be dead in 4 days.
Because right now I feel a little overwhelmed with some of those things. So it's a pleasant thought, but it's fleeting, because I would really like to continue to work.
I say this with some hesitation, because I know a lot of people that have jobs. The jobs are hard. Hard jobs. I got friends that are plumbers and carpenters, and they get up off the floor like, oh, my knees, right? And climbing underneath things and lifting stuff up, your back gives out. It's tough. That's real work. You don't sweat on this job, right? If you could be 80 years old or whatever and keep talking on the radio and say things like, hey, they got these things called reels.
Is that why you're asking me about retirement? It's just throw it in, man. You are just so out of it.
Yeah. I got to keep going. I have no desire to give up on any of that stuff. Just find something else to do. Most people that do retire, all of a sudden they're left with time, and then they have no purpose. And then you'll see it. You see a lot of old people. Remember all the guys from 60 Minutes that all eventually started retiring. And then 8 months later, Andy Rooney's dead. And then Mike Wallace, and they would all just pass away. I do think there's something to work. It's essential to us to just keep going, you know, and just have some purpose in life. But when people retire, if they don't have anything else that they care about, any hobbies that can turn into something that's bigger to take more of their time, they're putzing around looking for things to do. So I'm not surprised by that number. It just speaks to the coddling of the American people when they came up with the whole idea of, don't worry, we're going to make sure Social Security is there for you. We're going to call it the FICA, the financial, it'd be the, it's the income contribution, right? So it's not a tax, it's a contribution. We're going to put the money aside for you, and it's going to be in a really crappy account that gets like maybe 2% or something. And somebody said, why can't I take my money and put it in a 401k? Or why can't I take my money and invest it what I want to put it into? Oh, no, 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 no. We know
best. It's such a great question. That's, I ask myself that every day.
Thank you, life. That's right. No, because the government's going to take the money for you. Don't worry about it. We'll take it.
Now, given all of these...
Al Gore's lockbox. Yeah. Don't put it in a lockbox. It's not a lockbox. You put money in, it goes right out to somebody else.
Have you considered taking Social Security early because of the fact that it may not be there?
Oh, I know it's not going to be there. They sent you the thing. Did you get the thing in the mail 2 weeks ago? It shows you how much money you've made in your life and how much you can get every single month. And then down at the bottom page, you know, these are projected estimates. It may or may not be there. No, I don't care. I'm not counting on it. Besides, you take it out early, they start to whack you. You get less of it. No.
Well, if there's nothing there, you really get less of it. So.
Right. I'm not counting on it. No way. I'm putting all my money in weddings. I just hope people keep getting married.
That's a plan.
I read a thing today about less and less people getting married. It's like, oh, my God, I got this big barn up here. Come on, everybody, get married.
Maybe you can have divorce parties.
I would have divorce anything. I don't care. Like, get on up here. Get it going on. That's what it says. Says on the sign out front. Get it going on. Get it going on. Get up here. Say I do. Thank you, Sherry. I will. But first, I take my car to Bucky's. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. They've got 16 locations, and my goodness gracious, being around for 54 years, they know what they're doing. The men and women there at Bucky's Auto Service Centers wearing rubber gloves long before it was fashionable. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. I got to attest to this next story. My daughter and my son have both signed up for marathons. It's not about that. So this is the story of the new quarter-life crisis. It's not a crisis. Quarter life crisis that more people that are under the age of 25 are signing up to run marathons. It makes sense. There's sort of a social contagion because you see people on TikTok and Instagram and stuff like that talking and training for marathons. It's something to do and it gives you a goal and you can run with other people. It kind of dropped off for a little while. Young people weren't running marathons and now they're coming back again, training for it. It's, if you've got the time for it, put the time in and maybe enjoy more of your life. And they're doing less drinking as well. These younger kids not drinking as much, trying to find, you know, some sort of balance with the dopamine hit of running. So it's good for them as long as they run it. Don't be out there walking and talking to the person next to you.
Is that common?
I saw an article in Runner's World a couple of years ago saying we got to people that are there's running a marathon, there's run walk techniques that you run a mile, walk a mile, or you walk like 400 yards and run again, and that's it works for some people. But they were saying, they were going after people like, don't say that you ran a marathon or that you did a marathon, you signed up and then you and your friend talked the whole time and took pictures and then it took you like, I don't know, 9 hours or something to finish, or I don't know when they sweep them off the course. But and if you're going to go out there and run it, run the thing. So the guys started taking shots at people that weren't out there just killing themselves for the whole 26.2 miles.
You did one, didn't you?
I've done 18.
18?
Yeah, I really got into it. I ran I ran New York City, and then I ran wasn't training. I was running like 5 miles every couple of days. Really wasn't into working out. Living in Virginia, and I saw that, well, Oprah Winfrey will be in town this weekend to run the Marine Corps Marathon. She says she's ready. And then it cuts to her. I've been training really hard. I'm really looking forward to it, my first marathon. So I turned to Bub, my wife. I said, hey, if Oprah can do it, I'm going to do it. She goes, you haven't trained. I know, heck, I can do it. I hadn't run in a long time. I was like, I'm going to do it. Get out there and ran that thing. Oh, my God. I ran into Oprah because I ran in the last minute. I called ahead. I got a media pass. So I had this media pass as I'm running. That thing is on my hat. I had it clicked on my hat. And Bob Green, her trainer, comes over. I was so out of it mentally. I'm in so much pain. I don't know what mile I was on. And Bob Green runs over. He's running backwards. He goes, hey, you're the media? Are you with the media? Yeah, I'm the media. Yeah, hey, what mile are we on? What mile are we on? It was like, mile 18. He's like, oh, great. Okay. So he runs back over to Oprah, look up. And Oprah's like slogging along like she's carrying a refrigerator on her back. She's like, oh my God. Okay, guys, Oprah, look at me, Oprah, 18. This is mile 18. Hang in there, Oprah. Mile 18. We got this. Okay. We got this. Okay. Got eight more to go. Come around the corner. And the sign said, mile 16. Uh-oh. And he came over and yelled at me. And I was like, what are you yelling at me for? Why don't you keep track of the miles? Oh. Then he had to go back and tell her. Okay, Oprah, got some news. Got some news. Oprah, look up. Oh, look up, Oprah. Just 10 more. And when you hear that, it crushes you. Because in your head, you're like, okay, I can do like 5 more. Okay, I can do 3 more. Okay. And then all of a sudden, when somebody says, oh, no, that's not the mile. You got 2 more miles other than that one. Oh, boy. I felt so bad for her. People cheering her on. She looked like hell in a handcart. Oh, that was a tough race.
They are correlating this marathon, a quarter life crisis marathon, with the idea that because so many people are not getting married, they're not having kids, the career is harder.
Hey. I got a wedding venue here, Sherry.
Okay. Well, they say this is a goal you can reach. This is something that gives you a sense of a purpose. And for some people, it's a coping mechanism because they can run and run and run. And they say, well, this may not be working out in my life, but this is working out in my life. But they're warning people that if you're doing this just to get validation on social media, don't do it. It's going to be an empty, hollow kind of victory. You need to be able to do this for yourself and see it through.
Yes. And the other thing is the best advice, if people do one, I learned this from Mr. Richmond from Richmond PR. He ran, I don't know how many marathons. He was running right up until it was like in his late 70s. The runner's blues. So what happens is you finish a marathon and the next day you are like depressed. And the reason is because the goal has ended. So Mr. Richmond told me what he does, what he used to do is the night of the marathon, the night before the marathon, he signs up for another one. So when you come across the finish line, you're like, all right, I got Chicago in 6 weeks, or I got Chicago in 8 weeks, and I'm ready to go. Because when, as soon as that thing's over, you're thinking, oh, it's going to be so great. No, you just go into this like funk for a couple of days. So to beat the runner's blues, you sign up for another one, go right in and sign for the next one, so you're ready to go for the next race. And then you feel like you got something else going on. Because you hit that goal, you do it, it only lasts a couple of minutes, then you're like, well, there we go. I got my medal.
Is the runner's high, is that a real thing?
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, yes.
And it's just like,
it's the best.
How would you describe that? Like, what does it feel like?
It's euphoria. For if you're really in shape and you're doing it, you're running well, normally it gives up. Your body can't keep getting pain signals, so your body does release dopamine and a whole bunch of other things as well to help you with the pain. But yeah, it's also getting a bunch of oxygen to the brain, and it's just really great for you. You don't really get a runner's high out of a marathon. You get them out of different training runs and stuff like that. And we never got to the guy that did he drink a glass of wine at every mile?
Yeah, he did, but some of them he spit out.
Yeah,
if he didn't like them, and somebody wrote in about this in their the comments about this guy that was raising money to wine. They say being a marathon runner and a sommelier are two of the most pretentious hobbies. I love this guy. He was raising money for this thing for kids and everything. He thought he could get about $3,000. He ended up raising $16,000.
Okay. How about the guy from China that smoked 2 packs of cigarettes while running? And then they banned him because he was chaining them up while he was running. And they're like, yeah, that's not good for we. That's not good. And he did it. He kept running them. I think he was going under 3 hours. No, under sub four. He's like 3:40 something or other.
Yeah, the cigarettes kept him going. The tobacco is a real stimulator. It is.
It is. But how do you think his lungs were feeling?
Got it worked out.
Got it done, yeah. All right. Yep. I don't think Oprah's done another one since that.
Oh, big surprise.
Yeah. Marine Corps Marathon. Really, really, really raining hard on that October day. Good race, though. She doesn't want to work hard unless she can be Employee of the Week again, Sherry. Bad attitude. Bad attitude. You're not in it for the gold. I turned her around there. By the way, Joe and I and Sherry, we're all talking. Okay, Tini, we're back on the air. We're going to go old school radio again with psychics. We had such a response to those two wonderful people that are married. They've been married for 47 years, and they're psychics, and they did such a crazy weird thing just as they mentioned something about us, Sherry, the other day. I thought, you know what, they used to do this all the time on radio where people call in and ask psychics. So we've decided, Joe, we're gonna see if they'll come on once a week or once a month, right? Something like that.
Once a month. Thursdays, huh? I think.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yep.
There we go. Thank you, Joe. All right. Sherry, I understand you found out that you don't have the right name, that you for some reason this is why the state hasn't been able to find you or fame has not come knocking at your door recently because of a spelling mistake?
Well, it's not just one spelling mistake. So my name is a little bit weird, all right? It's Shari Elliker. So oftentimes I get things like somebody will try to send me an email and they'll think that it's Sherry, Sharie. So it is ever so slightly complicated.
Yeah.
So I bought a car from my sister and I had to go get a title, change the title and then go to the registration or get the registration and all that stuff. So we go to the Motor Vehicle Administration, which, by the way, is about on par with Costco in my categories of horrible experiences. So we wait. We get up there. We get the person does all of our stuff and everything, gives us the new title, gives us the temporary tags, everything. Trevor goes to get it inspected, and he calls me, and he says, hey, bad news. They spelled your name wrong on the title. And I said, well, how did they spell it? Elliker. Elliker-y.
Oh, that's a nice name.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, well, here, you go back and fix it. And he said, okay. And he was going to go this morning, and I took a look at my driver's license as I was giving it to him, and guess what? The confusion wasn't that they spelled it wrong on the title. They spelled it wrong on my driver's license. So, yes. So I called, waited online for 150 minutes and asked them what I could do. And they said, well, this wasn't your error. It's our error. So we're not going to charge you. But you have to go back to the Motor Vehicle Administration with your Social Security card and your marriage certificate or whatever it is, and then get it. And I said, can I bring anything else? And he said, no, just bring your Social Security card. Well, I can't bring that because they also made a mistake. They put my name down as Ahari Elliker, a Harry Elliker. So I got 50 names going here, and I failed to correct any of them, so now I'm really stuck.
A Harry Elliker.
Your Social Security card has the wrong name?
A Harry Elliker. And I called, and you have to go to an office and prove that's not your name. And it's so hard, and it's so complicated, and it takes so long. I just never did it.
You could really do some damage with that. Couldn't you apply for a whole bunch of credit cards and stuff now under a Harry Elliker?
Well, no, my number is the same, so no.
Oh, the number's the same. I just had to come back to you. Okay. All right.
Well, now you know the rest of the story.
There you go. Have you gotten your new tags and everything? By the way, what's your sister charge for the car? That's always weird. And your relative has to charge for a car. Yeah.
Yeah. So my mom and dad gave me another car a long time ago. So the next car goes to my sister. My mom doesn't drive anymore.
Oh, I see.
So it was a Mercedes, literally, that a little old lady drove to church every day or every Sunday. It had 30,000 miles on it. And so I bought it for $6,000.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Clutch the pearl.
I'm going to take advantage of your sister.